I'm Vicky. I'm a compulsive overeater. And at World Service Business Conference, one of the things that we talk about on the Board of Trustees is called the strategic plan. I really like strategic plans because it's like if you fail to plan, you plan to fail. And there are so many wonderful things that we could focus on as a fellowship, and the strategic plan helps us to look at good, better, best. And for 2014, the strategic plan goal was abstinence through, you know, what actions are needed for abstinence. 2015 is abstinence through working the 12 steps, and 2016 is abstinence through giving service. So I'd like to touch on those things, and to start off, I'd like to talk about that first part is the actions required. And I came into Overeaters Anonymous April of 1996. That's a little over 18 years ago, maybe 18 and a half. And at about 250 pounds-ish, I stopped getting on the scale. I don't have a lot of fat pictures, especially when I first came into OA, because I took the pictures. You know, the wedding picture I showed, people look at it sometimes and say, "Oh, what a nice picture of your wedding. Who's that fat lady?" And but I came in, my first meeting was in Wasilla, Alaska, and I went because I was assigned by my nursing class to go, and so I was not a compulsive overeater, and I wanted you guys to know that, and didn't want you getting the wrong idea. But that was where I heard the steps for the first time, and God told me that these 12 steps were what I've been praying for my whole life. And, you know, some of you heard my story last night. I'm a defiant perfectionist. And so when God said, "This is what you've been praying for your whole..." I had tried every diet imaginable. I had done everything. When I came into OA, I thought that there was no hope for me. I had messed my life up so badly, there was no getting it back. I thought my husband would be better off with another wife, that he probably regretted marrying me. My kids would be better off with a different mother. I had six gorgeous kids. I mean, six beautiful children. But I thought they would be better off with a different mother, and I had a plan to kill myself for the benefit of the world. And if I had not found OA when I did, I probably would not have been alive 2 weeks later. But anyway, so I was going to college to try and feel better about myself, but it didn't work. I still felt awful, but anyway, in nursing school, they assign nursing students to go to 12-step meetings, Overeaters Anonymous meetings, and my heart aches sometimes when I hear people talking about not wanting nursing students, because that's what got me into OA. That's where I first heard the 12 steps and the message. But I heard the steps, and God said, "This is what you've been praying for your whole life." And I didn't believe him because I had tried everything imaginable and nothing worked. And so, being the defiant perfectionist I am, I said, "Okay, God." God and I were not on good speaking terms. "Okay, God, this won't work. I stopped believing you a long time ago. I know you don't love me anyway. So I'm going to do this thing perfectly. And when it doesn't work, it will be your fault." So, at that first meeting... backtracking again. There were four people at that meeting. I was the thinnest. At 250 pounds, I was the thinnest person there. And what people were saying at the meeting was, it worked for a while, then it stopped. That was the sharing at the meeting. But somehow God told me the steps were what I needed to do, and I decided to defy him and show him it wasn't true. So one of the ladies at the meeting was sharing about how awful her life was, but she wasn't sharing about being suicidal, so she had what I wanted. So I asked her to be my sponsor, and Jody told me a few years later that she didn't want to sponsor me, so what she decided to do was be as hard and as nasty with me as she could, and that way I would run screaming and leave her alone. She didn't know that I was a defiant perfectionist and I'd made this deal with God. So everything she told me to do, dang it, I did it. I was hanging on with my fingernails sometimes, but I was going to show God. And one of the first actions Jody asked me to do was to take this plan of eating, which was awful. Weighed, measured, strict, you know, horrible. And she said, you need to pray about this, and if God and you think you can do this, then I'll sponsor you. And so I went home and I prayed about it, and God said, yes, do it. So the first action I took was to know in my inner knower that God wanted me to use that plan of eating. And so when it came those times of digging my fingernails in, being this good church-going girl I was, I would come back to, this plan of eating is God's will for me, so I need to do it. And that kept me, backtracking again. We're just talking about abstinence and plan of eating. When I say I've been abstinent for 18 and a half years, what I'm really saying is I've been sticking to a plan of eating for 18 and a half years. My personal definition of abstinence, abstinence for me now is different than it was when I was first in program. And I think that's a good thing. I think we all need that little progression. But that knowledge that God wanted me to stick to it helped me stay to it with my little white knuckles, even when, you know, I really, really wanted to do something different. I've had several yelling fits with God, and one of them was when I was about a month in recovery, and my little grandson was being blessed, and my daughter asked me to make the cheesecake for the blessing after. And so I made this cheesecake, and everybody was raving over it. It wasn't on my personal plan, but I could make it, you know. Everybody's raving over how good it was. When the thing was over, there was one slice left. And I was needing to clean the kitchen, and I wanted that thing so bad, it hurt. And I told my daughter, I said, don't touch anything, I'll be back. And I went outside, and I had it out with God. It's not fair. They can all eat this, and I can't, and I don't see why in the world it has to be this way. It's dang not fair that I can't do it. And went on for several minutes. And I don't know if any of you have had little children, little ones, who yell and scream and say, I hate you. That's how it felt. God was, you know, okay, Vicky, it's fine. You can have this mad fit, you know, it's all right. And then he said, Vicky, you know, I never told you that you can't eat it. You can go back in there and eat it if you want to. It's your choice. However, I will never protect you from the consequences of your actions. When you choose this action, you choose its consequence. And then he said, and so what do you want to do? Well, if you put it that way, I guess I won't eat it. But I spent so much of my life wanting to have this action and this other consequence, and it just doesn't work that way. I can't manipulate God. God doesn't love me more when I'm abstinent or less when I'm not. If that were true, then I would be controlling God, and that's just not the way it works. God loves me the same, abstinent or binging. Those are some of my one or two. Another action that Jody suggested, bless her heart, was that when I wanted to eat, to go in my bedroom, get down on my knees, and pray the first three steps. And that amazingly really helped a lot. Now, I was using the big book, and I hadn't gotten to step three yet, but I knew the first three steps. And I could see the step three prayer in the big book, and I thought it was the most wonderful prayer in the world. But I would not say it out loud until I took step three. I'm a defiant perfectionist. So But I would pray through the first three steps, and it helped. It helped to remind me that I'm powerless. I have a power greater than me that can help, and I want my will in my life and God, and to do God's will, and dang it, that plan of eating is God's will. Dang it. Another action I took early on was Jody told me to, you know, she wasn't doing all this stuff, but she knew how to tell me to do it. Jody told me to make a list of 10 things I would do before I binged. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11 was binge. As long as I did those first 10 things, when I got to 11, I could binge. Now, again, being the defiant perfectionist I was, I decided that I would do 25. You know, go to the bedroom, play through the first three steps. Say the serenity prayer. Call my sponsor. Call 308 people and ask them how they are and don't complain about my life. Read a page in Lifeline. Memorize a paragraph in the Big Book. I can quote all of how it works. But it was just different things that I would do. And when I got to number 26, I wasn't saying, you may not. It was just this is what I'll do first. And that really, a lot of times I think for me, wanting to go off my plan of eating is very momentary. It only lasts a few minutes. And it's sort of like I get there, and then God's will is kind of a few minutes behind me, and I've got to have that little speed bump so God can catch up. And to me, that's what the tools and the actions are for me a lot of times, is that little speed bump to slow me down so that God can catch up. But one time I got to number six, which was, I think I should put make 6 phone calls. And so I called somebody and they didn't answer. And I called somebody and they didn't answer. And I called somebody and they didn't answer. And then I realized that if I'm on my number six and I'm making phone calls like this, I don't really want to eat anyway. And I just laughed at myself and said, oh, well, shoot. Another thing that was important to me is the concept of being willing to go to any length. And my second sponsor, Miriam, would often say, exactly what length was it you were not willing to go to? Calling her at 1 in the morning, she would say, if it's between eating and making a phone call, call me at 1 in the morning. And I said, I can't call you at 1 in the morning. I can't wake you up in the middle of the night. And she said, Vicki, you've got a disease that is going to kill you. Act like it. If it means making a phone call at 1 in the morning, make the phone call. And if I get ticked off, that's between me and my sponsor. That's none of your business. And she said, and if I don't answer my phone, you start going down that OA list, and you start calling people. And if none of them answer the phone, well, she said, if they get ticked off, that's between them and their sponsor, and it's none of your business. And if they don't have a sponsor, that's none of your business either. And then she said, if nobody on the OA list answers their phone, you are to get out the telephone book and start calling random people. Again, you've got a disease that's going to kill you. Be willing to go to any length, not eat compulsively. What length is it I'm not willing to go to? And there's always something that I could do instead of eating compulsively. There's always a length I can go to. So going to any length was important to me early on. But one day at a time, and just for today, those slogans were important to me. Saying the slogans, I was walking through the line at Walmart, and they have all these nice little displays along the sides. And one day, I wanted one of those candy bars so bad. I just wanted it so, so bad. Well, in fact, this happened more than once. But what I would tell myself was, this morning I made my plan of eating and candy bars were not on it. Tomorrow when I make my plan of eating, I might plan 20. No guarantees of what I'll do tomorrow, but today it's not on my plan. And it kind of took away the deprivation and the, I'll never do it again the rest of my life. It kind of took that edge off because I might plan it tomorrow. I don't know what I'll be doing tomorrow, but I might plan it tomorrow. It's between me and God and what happens in the morning. And I never, ever woke up in the morning and said, dang it, I wish I ate that brownie yesterday. Never once. Now, I have woken up quite a few times and said, oh, God, thank you that I didn't eat the brownie yesterday. That has happened many, many, many times. But the one day at a time gets me through those times when I'm just feeling so sorry for myself because they can have it and I can't. And again, going back to I can, I just, you know, when I was in program early on, you know, I have six beautiful children. And my kids would often say, Mom, can you eat a candy bar? Mom, can you have a piece of cake? Mom, can you have pie? And I would say, I learned to say, yes, I can, but today I'm choosing not to. And they kept asking, and you know, that was my pat answer. Yes, I can, but today I'm choosing not to. And then one day my little 10-year-old, David, he said, Mom, can you, I mean, are you choosing today to have? And another time, I had this cookbook that kind of went along with my plan of eating. And so I would go through there and look for things to make for myself. And I came home one day and David was at the kitchen table looking at my cookbook and crying. And I said, sweetheart, what's wrong? And he said, Mom, it's your birthday tomorrow, and I wanted to make you a birthday cake, but there aren't any cake recipes in here. Oh. And I said, sweetheart, we can make a cake. I just will choose to not eat it. But where's I going with that? I don't know. Actions. And I'll talk about service again in a little while, but service is one of the actions I read in the Tools of Recovery. It says, if you want to stay abstinent, you'll give service. Little blurb. I wanted to stay abstinent. So I talked with Jody about giving service, and she says, well, you know, in our meeting, Sharon is the secretary, and she likes being secretary. She's been secretary 5 years, and she really loves it, so I don't think you can do that. And Donna's the treasurer, and she likes being treasurer. She's done it for so long, and she's really good at it, so I don't think there's anything you can do there. And I just can't think of anything else you could do. And I went, oh. But a few weeks later, someone I had never seen before came to the meeting and said, well, I'm the intergroup rep, and I'm moving to Hawaii, so I need someone who can be intergroup rep. And I said, what does that involve? And she said, well, it means going to Anchorage once a month to a meeting. And I said, I can do that. So I became intergroup rep. And I went to Anchorage once a month to the meeting. And this was toward the end of 1996. And then they started talking about officers for 1997. And they said, Vicki, would you mind being co-chair? And I said, what does the co-chair do? And she said, well, the co-chair just mostly comes to the intergroup meeting, and if the chair's not there, they lead the meeting. And I said, you know, is there an agenda? And they said, yeah, there's always an agenda. You just follow the agenda. And I said, okay, I can do that. And so in January, I was elected co-chair on the first part of January. January 15th, the chair resigned. So I've been No Readers Anonymous for 8-9 months, and I was the chair of intergroup. Thus started my service in OA. But the thing is, I loved it. I loved giving the service, and one of the things that kept me abstinent was if I binge, if I eat, I have to give up the service I'm doing. I love it. I want to keep doing it, and if I lose my abstinence, I can't do it anymore. So in that way, that in giving service is one of the actions I took to stay abstinent. Working the 12 steps, which again I'm going to talk about later. When you look at it from a purely superficial view, the two don't seem to go together, you know, sticking to the plan of eating and working the 12 steps. But really, for me, they do. But calling my sponsor every day, telling her what my food was going to be for that day, and I did that for about a month-ish. And then again, I would do it when I felt like I needed to, but she said call her at 7 o'clock, and I called her not at 6:59 or 7:01. I'm a defiant perfectionist. And did everything my sponsor told me to do. If she said read this, I read it. If she said write on this, I wrote on it. If she said, you know, call me at this time, I called her. I did, because I told God I would do it, and dang it, I did it. And it worked. One day at a time, following instructions, it worked. And like I said before, at first it was all about sticking to a plan of eating and about losing weight. And eventually it morphed into other things. I knew going into working the 12 steps that it was a spiritual thing. I could tell that by the steps. It's a spiritual thing. The thing is I started, because of this plan of eating was so strict, I lost weight very quickly, too quickly, to be honest. In fact, so quickly that when people I sponsor want to use that particular plan, I cringe. I lost weight very, very quickly, and it stopped being about spirituality and very quickly became weight loss being more important than anything else. I thought that there wasn't a too thin. Jody told me to go to the doctor and get what he thought was a good target weight for me, and he gave me a number. And when I got real close to it, I didn't think it was low enough. So I set it a little lower. And then when I got close to there, I didn't think it was low enough, so I set it lower. And then I set it lower. And then one day I realized at 5'7", I was looking at the scale and thinking how wonderful it would be to be under 100 pounds. And it scared me enough that, you know, that kind of caught me. But I was afraid of gaining weight. I was afraid because all these people who said it worked for a while and then it stopped. And I didn't know how long it would be before it stopped for me. And I wanted to get as much padding between me and being too fat as I could, because when it stopped working, I wanted there to be something there. But I was afraid. I was so scared of eating. And so it was very difficult to start eating, because society co-signs thin. You know, there's I think it was Hearst. Maybe it was some newspaper. She would say you can't be too fat, too thin, or too rich. She died of anorexia. I didn't know that. Society co-signs thin. Society, when I was so struggling with trying to eat and probably a little underweight, people would come up to me at meetings and say, I want what you have. And I would think, no, you don't. Because it was hard. I was skinny, they wanted skinny, but what I had inside, I didn't think anybody wanted, because I was really, really struggling. And I was very unhappy. You know, the Welcome Home talks about going from fat and unhappy to thin and unhappy, and I understand that one. That thin did not make me. I thought all the time I was fat. I thought that if I could just lose the weight, I would be happy. My husband would love me. My kids would be great. My life would be wonderful, and birds would fly out my ears. But it didn't happen that way. My insides didn't change with weight loss. So so the actions of, you know, by this time I was on my second sponsor. I'm hard on sponsors. But Miriam is the one who would tell me to call her at 1 a.m. And she's also the one who she jokes even today that she's surprised I don't have a flat head because she hit me upside the head with a big book enough that I really ought to. But I have lost where I'm going. Actions. After I thought that if I started losing weight, my husband, bless his sweetheart. I was abused any way a kid could be. My mother called me stupid instead of Vicky. She didn't like my dad. She used my last name as a cuss word. And it was very, you know, and my grandfather abused sexually. So I was abused every way a kid could be. And I used that as an excuse my whole life, passing the picture around that my daughter's wedding. Jen was the kind of person who would light up the room when she walked into it. She was bright and everybody loved her. I became Jen's mother when she was about 6. I ceased being Vicky and became Jen's mother. But I would look at her and I would think, that's who I could have been if not for the abuse. You know, if that's who I could have been. But that person is dead now and she can't come back. I didn't think it was possible for her to come, for that person I might have been to come back. Jen died. She was killed in a car accident about 5 years ago. And at her funeral, and that's another part of my story, at her funeral, they had a slideshow up on the wall. At the viewing, they had a slideshow up on the wall of pictures of Jen. And I turned to someone next to me and I said, you know, what I'm going to miss the most is her smile. And she looked at me and said, Vicky, all you really have to do is look in the mirror. And that's when I realized that person wasn't dead. I had to work my program and work my steps. But she wasn't dead. And through the 12 steps, I can stop blaming everybody in my life. I thought there's a place in the big book in Freedom from Bondage. That's the same one where it talks about praying for somebody for 40 days. But before that, she talks about her mother and how she used her mother for everything in her life that went wrong. You know, her mother was her excuse, you know, for being a failure, for being unhappy, for all this long list of things. Her mother was her excuse. And that she fanned and fed that belief because that was so core. And I realized that I was using my abuse as an excuse. And I had to stop doing that. I had to stop blaming other people for the choice. I was abused as a kid. That is the truth. But at some point, working the steps, I got to say, that happened. And maybe it did shape who I am today. But it happened then, and it's not happening today. Today, the choices I make have nothing to do with my mother and grandfather. My happiness, I believe I am as happy today, happier today than I ever would have been. Because of the steps, I'm happier. Because of the steps and because of what's going on, I'm happier than I could have been. One of my legacies to my sweet daughter, I was so angry with God after she died because I'm 60 now, and so I was about 55. And my kids were gone, and I felt like I'd done pretty much all the good I could do with my life. And she still had little boys, and she was a high school teacher from heaven. There were 2,000 people at her funeral. And I said, she's doing so much good in the world. Parents came up to my husband and I at the funeral and said, my son was going down the path to drugs, and your daughter turned him around. But that, you know, I said, God, why did you take her when she could have done so much good? And leave me. I would rather have gone instead of her because I think the world would be a better place. But my legacy to my sweet daughter is that I want to smile and laugh and be and bring that service and that goodness wherever I can. And instead of crying and grieving and feeling sorry for myself because she died, I want to be grateful for her life and you know, bring that. But I couldn't have done it without this program. And again, that's one of the actions I got to take for my recovery, is in deciding to put on a smile and be a happy person. I became a happier person. Where are we? One of the things, I'm talking about being happy, one of the things my sponsor had me do, my current one, was to start writing affirmations, and I thought that was the stupidest thing in the world. Until they started working. And one of them was, to look in the mirror and say, "I love you, Vicki," which I thought when she first suggested it would be easy, but it was dang hard. But I have learned that affirmations really do help. So if you would all get out numbers one, and on your desk there are folders that are numbered 1 to 6. So open number 1 and pass it around, and 2 and pass it around. And there are 6 in each package, so this Shades of Hope table may need to borrow some from a different table, because you have a few more than 6 at your table. And I think there may be another table with. Anyone need more?
Yes.
So what I would like you to do is to take a few minutes and think about and write your affirmation for abstinence today. And the example on this page I think is too long. That's just my opinion. Again, the gospel according to Vicki. Mine would be, today I'm going to ask for God's will and how to love my body with food. But you can, for your own personal abstinence, write 1 or 2 or 4 out and reflect on them. And we're going to take a few minutes and work on that. So get out your trusty pencils and paper and go for it.